Other countries have come to me and they've said, we were getting ready to do a very major attack tomorrow. I've put it off for a little while, hopefully maybe forever, but possibly for a little while, because we've had very big discussions with Iran, and we'll see what they amount to. I was asked by Saudi Arabia, Qatar, UAE, and some others if we could put it off for 2 or 3 days, a short period of time, because they think that they are getting very close to making a deal. And if we can do that where there's no nuclear weapon going into the hands of Iran, I think, and if they're satisfied, we will be probably satisfied also. We've informed Israel. We've informed other people in the Middle East that have been involved with us. And, you know, it's a very positive development, but we'll see whether or not it amounts to anything. We've had periods of time where we thought pretty much getting close to making a deal, and it didn't work out, but this is a little bit different. Now, we're ready going tomorrow very big, and not something I wanted to do, but we have no choice because we cannot let Iran have a nuclear weapon.
It's just imprinted in his DNA and his brain cells now that it just, I mean, I suspect if someone asks him what he wants for lunch, he will say Iran cannot have a nuclear weapon. There is no nuclear weapon. There never was a nuclear weapon. There wasn't a nuclear weapons program. They never had one. 47 years, they never had one. So there was no imminent threat from which he saved it. Just because there was no program, number one. Number two, the nuclear energy program that they did have and the reprocessing capabilities that they did have, which could have been escalated to nuclear weapons grade had they been left unattended, that was destroyed last year, or at least severely set back. Not completely destroyed, because you can't destroy the intellectual capacity, because they can replace literally everything and good if they wanted to, but so far they haven't. I have been surprised that they haven't done it now. I kind of thought that when this war started, that would have been the final blow, and that would have pushed them covertly to start actually making. I thought it would have made them run to a nuclear bomb as a means of deterrent. Several other experts we've had on our show say that actually even still, there's many in Iran that says, no, that still isn't in our advantage because it would cause a potential nuclear arms race, which would make their security even less than it is now. But with control of the Strait of Hormuz, that kind of acts as the nuke option without actually having the nuclear weapon issue. And so they don't need it right now. But one never knows if that's going to happen later on. But the bottom line is there isn't one now. So when you keep saying that you're predicating this whole war on something that doesn't exist, then you're also predicating getting out on something that doesn't exist. Two, making it more difficult for us to withdraw. Now, Iran, I think in just a show we showed you just a couple of days ago, they again have reiterated, we have no interest in having a nuclear weapon. And so at the government level, they're continuing to say that. So they said that's not on the table for us. So how can we take off or submit to something that isn't even on the table from our side? You see how it's making this more complicated. And this one other soundbite I wanted to play you from that interview here, where you see one other thing that President Trump is focused on, which also complicates the matter.
We're not going to let Iran have a nuclear weapon. So I was called by these three countries plus others, and they're dealing directly with our people and right now Iran. And there seems to be a very good chance that they can work something out. If we can do that without bombing the hell out of them, I'd be very happy.
No, no, no. There is no, we're about to make a deal. We're not really close, and they're working with us. They're not. The only thing the Iranian side has done, and they have reiterated here recently, they have reiterated it after this statement, which some of which I'm going to show you in a second, is here are conditions for your surrender. We'll negotiate those. We'll talk to you about those. But that's where we are. That's what we're willing to negotiate about. So when President Trump says there's a deal close at hand, the only deal that could be close at hand is if we submitted to all of the terms that the Iranians have set. And that is, we withdraw from the region. We pay war reparations. They retain control of the Strait of Hormuz. And frozen assets are released. And they still be able to have their relations with their proxies. They still say that they're not going to do a nuclear weapon. Even then, they say that. But they also say this reprocessed material, that is our sovereign right as a country, as the signatory of the NPT, and we're going to keep all to that. We'll figure that out too. So basically, you get nothing that you want other than no nuclear weapon. So I guess in that sense, there is something on there. But to get to that point, to get a negotiated end to where both sides would stop the fighting would require the U.S. to do that, because I think that the Iranian side realizes that time is on their side, that they, if it goes back to conflict, they will suffer much more. As every day this blockade is on, they're suffering more. They're having high unemployment. They're having a lot of inflation. I mean, it's really causing a lot of problems. But they've been down this path before. They have experience of having endured this for a long period of time. We're barely 2 months in, not barely even started. They can go a lot longer. But when you look at the global energy markets and you look at the price of oil, let me see today, last I checked, it was 108. So even with President's quote taco, this time it didn't fall down. In fact, it might not have fallen down by any at all. That's how his words are no longer having the effect. You remember the last time he said this, it was a 9% drop. It went huge down, like $9 a drop for a period of time. Now that even the markets are starting to see there's no reality to this. So then the question is, where are we going to go? What is next? Well, let me show you. I showed you what President Trump thinks. Let's see what some of the regional allies think. And let's start first with the University of Tehran professor who's out front a lot, along with Professor Mirandi, whom we have on our show, is Professor Azidi, who kind of laid out how Iran's viewing this.
This is the fifth time that Trump is doing this. Last time he did this was on May 5th, the day earlier, he had announced that he would do Operation Project Freedom, escorting ships. And then he canceled that idea of it in 24 hours. And I think the main reason, last time he said Pakistanis asked him to do that. I think the main reason, the main problem is that there are no military solutions to this conflict. He did that for about 37 days, bombing Iran with full force. He had Israelis helping him, killing a lot of people, more than 3,500 civilians. And then he didn't achieve much except killing a lot of people. And then he has this problem of the Strait of Hormuz not being open the way he wants it open.
Yeah, and that is a problem there. So you see, that's not an official, but that's somebody who's in contact with the senior government. Because obviously they want Professor Mirandi out there to an English language speaking public to be able to say, here's our view. Now, again, like we say with all this stuff, to include with the Americans, I take nobody at face value, but we must listen to them to see what they're saying there and then compare that with reality on the ground. And when we do that, then the view of the U.S. side and the Israeli side and the Iranian side, the one that comes a lot closer to looking like what we see on the ground in reality, unfortunately, is the Iranian side. Now, that's from somebody who's not directly in the government. Let's see who is in the government at the highest levels. This was right about the time. I don't remember if this came out just before or just after President Trump issued that Truth Social yesterday, but this is President Pezeshkian, who says, we will never bow our heads to any power under any circumstances. And we engage in dialogue, but with dignity. And then several other kind of things are the importance of unity, et cetera. But the bottom line is that he's saying, we're not going to negotiate under any kind of freedom. We're not going to bow the knee to anyone under pressure, meaning if you come back with this military stuff, we will endure it, but we will still not bow. And that is someone who, you know, when you've already hit somebody with your best shot and they're still standing, now then they have a lot more confidence that they can endure it again because they know what it is. They know what it looks like. And of course, you know, we're primarily so far have gone after their military sites like these mountains, et cetera, because that's where the missiles are. They use to control the Strait of Hormuz and to attack everybody in the region. So that was one of the primary targets, even more so than the so-called nuclear program, because that was the one that they could use to harm people. We can't do it. They now, Iranians, see we can't do it. So they have been validated that their plans for a couple of decades have borne fruit, and they see that we can't take that fruit from them. So now then the question is, how willing is the side that recognizes that you're not going to be able to take away its ace, and you want them to give away everything, and there's no way that they're going to do that. A couple of others here. This is from ISNA, the Iranian news agency, who's saying that, you know, the iron fist of the powerful armed forces in the great Iranian nation will force them to retreat and surrender. So you see, it's going beyond now. We're not going to bow the knee to anybody. To now, then they're a little bit more cocky and saying, actually, we're asking for your surrender. And as I told you, the terms that they've given amount to a surrender and an acknowledgement that the war failed, not just that it didn't succeed, but that it outright failed, and that they're asking for our surrender. Their army, this is just this morning here, army spokesman, if this is the official Iranian army, not the IRGC, they have separate sort of branches of the military. If the enemy is foolish enough to fall into the Israelis' trap and launch another aggression, we will open new fronts against them with new methods. And there's been a number of things that have been talked about what that could be. There's a supposition of some new categories of missiles. There was even some claims on some X post the other day, or yesterday, that they might even have ICBMs and it can actually hit targets in America. I doubt that, because those are some things you have to do a lot of missile testing to validate that the platforms can go that far, unless they were given some by either China or Russia. I guess that's a possibility, but it is pretty likely that they have some things that we don't know about, and some things that could actually be used against us. But the more important thing is that the new target set, because we know that the existing missile inventory, which certainly has continued to grow in the days since the ceasefire was formed, first signed in April, you're sure that because they have their manufacturing capacity underground where it can't be knocked out from the sky. So the likelihood is they continue on. You've seen a lot of the stuff from CNN, from New York Times, Washington Post, all of whom have said their analysis shows that there is a substantially larger percentage of the Iranian missile program than we ever thought before, like around 75% or so. That's probably a good number. It seems pretty reasonable that it is. That's one of the things it's plausible based on what we have physically observed. Therefore, they can hit what they shoot at. Whatever you have with air defense interceptor missiles, that whatever percentage is actually getting through, we claim 90%. Professor Ted Postol on our show says it's more like 5%. Who knows what the right number is, but what we know for an absolute fact, validated, is that whatever the number that is that gets through, it is pinpoint accurate. Therefore, when they say that they will next go after energy infrastructure and oil facilities, and the production facilities, not just the storage tanks, but the facilities to actually process crude oil, get it shipped out, et cetera, pipelines, all this, desalinization plants, that's the biggest danger, the biggest risk. Because, with that, that's probably more important than oil. I mean, the oil is for your economy, but the water, your people won't live if they don't have it in sufficient quantities. And it would be really hard to get that much water in for any country that they knock out, the Iran side knocks out. But that's what they're saying. They say we will hit all of those things, to include our ally Israel, along with the other GCC countries, and further hit American bases, they say. Why would we want to do that? Why would we want to put Iran to the test when they have validated and demonstrated the capacity to do exactly what they've said? And it's so far, when they have said they were going to do something in retaliation to something we have launched, they have done that.